Wow. Hallelujah. Why don't we take just a minute, let's stand and just ask the Lord to come with his word, and then we can be seated again. Father, we come before you right now, Father, and we ask, Lord, that you would just speak to us with your word today, God, by your spirit. Just give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're saying to us today. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, today, I want to look at the title of my message is, Are You Looking Up or Down? It's the title of my message. Are you looking up or down? And so, let's dig into this together. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. Now, reading this out of Hosea, if you go back and read the whole book of Hosea, you see that God was very upset with the children of Israel, but he still loved them and he wooed them back and all this. But the gist of what I want to get at is the first part here. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So if you're a Christian, you're God's people. Amen? Christians are God's people, and I believe that even today, even though this is an Old Testament scripture, today the same principle applies, that if we lack knowledge in an area, we can be destroyed. Amen? And so that's why it's so important that we go to the Word of God, we rightfully hear and divide the Word of truth so that we have the knowledge we need so that we're not perishing or being destroyed. Does that make sense? All right, so I want to start this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to start in verse 6, and I'm just going to read through from verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. How many know you can be immature? Paul is speaking to the church when he's writing this. He's writing to the Corinthian church, and he says, basically, he's saying, I'm speaking these words to those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, if they would understood that by putting Jesus on the cross, they were going to create more sons and daughters of God, they wouldn't have done it. Amen? Speaking of spiritual rulers in high places. All right? And here's a verse, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And I always hear, I've heard so many preachers preach this verse with a religious, even sometimes with a religious tone. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. You know what I'm talking about. But what bothers me is that they don't read the next verse. You hear me? Because the next verse tells us, but God has revealed them. Say past tense. God has revealed them to us. How? Through his Spirit. That's me. I'm sitting there going, whose phone is ringing? And it's okay, here. I better turn this off. You want to turn this off? It's my brother or someone trying to Skype me from Mexico. All right. Where I'd like to be right about now. Where were we? Okay. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit is searching all things. The Holy Spirit is searching the deep things of God. And look what it says here. Okay. For what man knows the things of a man, verse 11, except the spirit of a man which is in him, even so no one knows the things of God except who? The Spirit of God. Now, so the Holy Spirit will reveal to us, past tense, has revealed to us. We can know all things, right? Now look what it says here. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. This is verse 12. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So we've been given the Holy Spirit so that we might know the things that have freely been given to us by God. See, you can know as a Christian, you can't say, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, God moves in mysterious ways. No, you can't talk that way anymore, because if you're mature, see, he said, I'm not talking to all you guys. I'm talking to those among you who are mature. You can know the Spirit of God. Honey, can you turn that off, sweetie? Thank you. Hi, brother. You can know the Spirit, you can know the direction that God is going in. Amen? And so here's the thing. If we've received the Spirit of God, then we can know the things that have been freely given. We can know it. We don't have to try to say, I don't know what God wants me to do. I have no idea where, you know, God is mysterious. No, you can know where and what God wants of you, because the Spirit of God will reveal them to you. Amen? Let's look at a few verses here. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. Well, that's the wrong verse here. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, sorry. It says here, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and you have revealed them to babes. Jesus is, you know, he's talking to his disciples. He's saying, listen, truth has been revealed to you guys. The wise and the prudent of this age, they don't know truth, but you know the truth. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. But he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. If you're a disciple of Jesus, it has been given to you to know the mysteries. Isn't that good news? God wants you to know the truth. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This is verse 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Amen? They're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. All right? So if you're walking in the flesh, if you're not walking in the Spirit, because as a believer, you're going to heaven, right? But you can walk in the flesh. How many know you can just kind of live a carnal life, get away from the Holy Spirit, get away from fellowship with the Lord, and you can walk in the natural man? All right? You can walk in that direction. And you're not going to hear and know the direction for your life from God. But look what it says in verse 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? And then the next part says, but we have the mind of Christ. We can know the direction. God can speak to us and say, this is the direction, walk in it. And then you can declare the Lord's will and walk in that direction. Isn't that good news? But you have to be mature. Say, I have to be mature. All right? Matthew Henry's commentary says, the spiritual man only is the person to whom God gives knowledge of his will. How little have any known of the mind of God by natural power? And the apostles were enabled by the Holy Spirit to make known his mind. In the Holy Scriptures, the mind of Christ and the mind of God in Christ are fully made known to us. It is the great privilege of Christians that they have the mind of Christ revealed to them by his Holy Spirit. They experience his sanctifying power in their hearts and bring forth good fruits in their lives. We can be saved and not be spiritually minded. Amen? You know, Paul's talking to the Corinthian church. Look what he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. It says here, "And I, brethren," Paul's speaking to the church, "I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but to carnal people." Now, they're Christians. They're not saying they weren't. He wasn't talking to people that didn't believe in God. "As to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you're not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able because you're still carnal, because there's envy and strife and division among you." And so, to be self-centered, you lose the power of God. To be selfless, you have the power of God. Amen? That's why Paul says, "I glory in my weakness, and I glory in my weakness, because when I'm weak, he is strong." When you're aware that I don't have the strength to overcome this sickness, I don't have the strength in myself to go another step, I don't have the strength to get up and talk publicly, I don't have the strength to witness, I don't have it, then God will come in his strength and say, "Here it is." Because then you have to cling to God, because you know in yourself you cannot do it. Amen? There's no natural way. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 and 14 says this. Paul is speaking to the Hebrews now. So it wasn't just the Corinthian church that he was dealing with. And it's in every church. Look what he says here. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." All right? "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Our senses have to be exercised. We need to grow and mature so that we're able to discern. This is evil. This is good. This is God. This is not God. And you know what the Bible says? That he's already placed us there. Amen? But we have to choose to walk and to mature. All right? Can we look at another scripture? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Okay, and I love this passage. "Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And you'd say, "Pastor, how do I get to sit down in that place of authority with God?" You don't have to. God forced you to sit there. You don't have a say in the matter. The moment you got saved, God took your authority from this earth plane where you're just little old man, fallen state, and he's taken you in authority, and he's placed you with Christ. He made you sit down. You don't have a choice. So it's not of your own works. It's not of your own strength. Everybody in this place, if you've given your heart to Christ, you have authority. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. God forced you to sit down. You don't have a choice in the matter. So if you don't think you have that authority, you're self-deceived. Because God says you have it. Amen? That's why I open this scripture with, or this message with, "People perish for lack of knowledge or incorrect doctrine." They're reading the scripture with the wrong. They're looking up, oh God, and they should be looking down, because they're seated with Christ. Different perspective. Amen? You know, I heard a story. This will give you an illustration. in Bible school, there was a man, and he was somewhere in Europe and had no money. He grew up poor, and he wanted to get to America. For 15, 20 years, he saved every penny he could. He saved his money because he had to get on the boat and come over to America. So finally, when he had his money saved, he went and bought the ticket. He gets on the boat. He's crossing the ocean, and it's a couple weeks journey or whatever, and he's crossing the ocean. And, you know, every day he'd get up and he would look and he'd see all the people sitting and eating in the restaurant, in the ship. And so he'd go down into his little area where he was staying in his room, and he had bagged lunches and peanuts and food that he had stored up for the trip, and he would eat that. And that was his food, and that. And so at the end, they could see the shore. They were almost to America. And one of the ladies came up to him and said, "Hey, you know, I see you on the deck, but how come you never join us for the meals?" He goes, "Well, I saved every penny I had to buy this ticket, so I don't have any money for the restaurant." She said, "Did you read the small print on the ticket? All meals inclusive." Man, was that guy disappointed. He could have been eating like a king the whole trip over there. And I think that some of us are going to get into heaven. We'll get to heaven and realize and go, "Oh man, you mean I could have lived like this, you know? I mean, I had this authority. I could have prayed this in. I could have did this. I could have seen all my kids serving God. I could." And here I am. It's like, you're going to be disappointed. And that's why the Bible says God's going to wipe away the tears from our eyes, because we're going to realize that we were seated in a place of authority in a realm with Christ as joint heirs, and we never walked in that place of authority. That's good preaching. God is good. I also heard another story. Maybe you heard this one. There was a woman. She was working for. She was a maid. She was a cleaning lady, and she was working in this mansion for this widowed woman who was very wealthy, obviously. And she passed away. And when she passed away, the maid left and went and lived on the streets. She couldn't get employment. She lived in a cardboard box. And a missionary was downtown doing street evangelism, and came to her box one day and knocked on the box, you know, and she opened up, and he came in, and he said, "Tell me your story." So they're talking, and she's saying, "I was a maid. I had this woman treated me like one of her own kids. She was awesome to me, and she took care of my food. She took care of everything, and then she died, and I couldn't get a job, so here I am on the streets." Well, while she was talking, he was looking. There was a plaque on the wall. It was a piece of paper that was framed. He goes, "What is that?" She goes, "I don't know. I don't know how to read." So somebody gave this to me, like the lawyer or whatever. So I don't know what it says. So he read it to her and he said, "You are the sole heir of everything she owns. She's given you the mansion, she's given you the yard, she's given you all her money," because she didn't have any kids. This is a true story. That woman jumped so high, top of the box flew off, I'm sure. Amen. But we are joint heirs with Christ. And I think that we have to learn. We have our paper on our plaque. It's right here. It's the Word of God. And we read it or we don't read it correctly. All right? Or we read it with some dumb doctrine like sensationalism that believes the gifts of the Spirit passed away and then you have no power. So it's pointless. We got to read it the way it's written. Amen? God is good. You have to read every word. You need to process it for yourself. You need to meditate on it. You got to say, "God, what are you saying to me?" Acts chapter 1, verse 11. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in likewise manner as you saw him go to heaven." Most of us walk through our Christian life looking up. And that's why we don't see revival. We're looking up. We're saying, "God, send something down." And meanwhile, that means if you're looking up, that means you feel you're under. But we're above the situation, and we even look down, and we say, "This is what God wants to do. This is where the enemy's attacking. This is where I need to be next week." And you're beginning to look from heaven's perspective, so you're no longer under the bondage of the principalities of this realm, but you're living above it. It's a different perspective. Amen? God's called us to have eyes that can see from above the storm, not from beneath it. God has called us to be eagles, not turkeys. So many Christians walk around, bawk, 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 like a turkey, right? Like this. You ever try to make a turkey fly and he flaps his wings and he goes about a foot and then falls down and a foot and fall? But God has not called us to be turkeys. He's called us to be eagles. You know, Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. See, God always uses the natural to explain the supernatural, doesn't he? He always uses the natural to explain the supernatural. He says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. We see that God is actually speaking about supernatural deliverance. Eagles always speak of supernatural ability. Amen? He calls us in Isaiah 40, 31. It says here, but those who wait on the Lord. To wait on the Lord means you're meditating, you're pondering, you're thinking, you're expecting God to come through. When you're waiting on somebody, you're waiting. You're in the zone waiting for them. All right? Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up, right, with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, the word mount up, actually in the Hebrew is Allah. Did you know that? We won't get into that, but it means to ascend, because we could spend a half an hour on that one, where they got the name Allah. But to ascend, to be high or active is what it means. All right, to arise up, to cause to ascend up, to bring up, cause to burn, to climb up, to cut off, to depart, to exalt, to excel, to fetch up, to get up, to go way up. That's what it means. It has everything to do with height. Amen? And God has called us to be like the eagle so that we can see everything from the perspective of heaven instead of from our own perspective of what's happening on earth. Isn't that good? I want to say something about eagles now that we're talking about them. Eagles have awesome eyesight. All right? You know, we have 20, if you have 20/20 vision, let me see your hand. Who has 20/20 vision? I have 20/20 vision. Well, last time I checked, 13 years ago. I don't know what it is now, but I'm believing I still do. But anyway. 20/20 vision is good. Eagles have 4 times 20/20. So 4 times the perception of a human from being able to see. They can see a rabbit a mile away and go, there's lunch, and just zoom in and get it. All right? 2 Kings 6:17 says this, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he might see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. And, he was terrified because he's thinking, we're going to go against this army. And God opened his eyes to see from heaven's perspective all of the angelic hosts that were there to defend them. If we're going to be like eagles, God wants us to have very good eyesight in the spirit realm so we can see and know when the enemy is coming in. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. All right? You know, how many ever listened to, I used to listen to Metallica. You get, anyone remember that? Heavy metal band? They have this one CD, some of you might know, it's called Master of Puppets. I don't know if you've ever seen, it's this, these claw hands with all these strings going down, and they have the tombstones, and they're kind of controlling the dead. Okay, if you ever saw the picture, you would see, it's a perfect illustration of how the devil, the god of this world, has control over the masses that are dead in their sin and trespass. But, you know, are we sitting there looking up and saying, what is the devil doing? And are we seated above looking down and saying, I see, and I'm coming from heaven's perspective. And, oh, Jesus, you're seated with me. Oh, we're seated in a place of authority. What do you want to do, Jesus? Let's do it. Is that good? Isn't God good? Amen. You need to pray for your kids. So I was studying about this and just really, you know, praying, God, give me discernment, give me discernment. I want to understand who I am in Christ. And, you know, I started having dreams. God started giving me dreams, like vivid dreams. I'd be laying in bed at night. And I had this one dream that a child approached my son Josiah and asked him to do something that was inappropriate. All right? And I heard the conversation and everything. And then the next day I woke up and I had this impression, talk to your son now. So I went to my son that day and I talked to him. He said, yeah, just today, this is after school, this boy came to me and he asked me the exact same thing. And then I had a teaching moment. I said, well, this is what the Bible says. And he was blown away that I even knew. But see, the enemy came with a plan to attack my son. And God said, I'm going to show you what the devil's doing before he does it, the day before he did it. Isn't that awesome? And I was able to address. Now, that's happened 2 or 3 times. So what does that do? It creates a peace in my heart and a faith that God is watching my children, that I know if something's going to happen, he's going to show it to me. Amen? The only thing I have to do is stay close to the Holy Spirit, and I'll see it. If I walk away from intimate fellowship with God, I'll begin to miss. I go from being an eagle to a turkey. God still loves me the same. He's still got a place for me in heaven, but I'm going to be beat up and ran over by the devil because I'm not allowing myself to be in that place of authority. Does this make sense to anybody today? So pray for your kids. God will show you the future. You know, Sharon, I'm going to have you give a testimony. Come on up here, Sharon, for a second. I'm putting you right on the spot because she had a testimony this morning. God shows us the future. One of the things that God showed Sharon, and I'll just share this part, with baby Mason, where's baby Mason? She's upstairs. Okay, he's upstairs. Baby Mason, you had a vision of God massaging the baby. What did you tell it? His heart and his liver. All right, and she didn't know what was wrong at the time, did you?
No.
And she just had this, and she shared it at women's group one day, and really felt that God saying that this child's going to be okay. How's Mason doing today? Wonderful. Amen. And it had to do with the heart and the liver, right? So God revealed it to his saints beforehand so we could pray. Amen. Now here's another one. Today, Sharon had another dream last night. And I'm going to say this. She doesn't know, we haven't shared with her about the renovation plans upstairs, so this is what makes it really cool.
I had a dream. It was last week. And I had a vision, I need to tell you this part, that this wall was gone. We owned both buildings. And the church went right through to the back wall. And the podium was up here. But anyways, I had a dream. And the dream went on from this. And on that back wall, I could see a booth hanging down. And I thought, what is that? And there was glass at the top and, of course, a wooden front on it. And it was a nursing booth for nursing mothers. And it was soundproof. The service was piped into them. And also out here where we have that little prayer room. Did Camilla share that with you?
Yeah.
And in this dream, the door was over beside the other door going upstairs. And this whole wall was shoved over. And it was a big prayer room. And it had church pews in it with kneeling benches if anybody wanted to kneel and pray. But I'm telling you, when I forget the pastor's name that spoke a blessing over you, he said, a large building or a large church. That just hit my heart because I'd already had the vision of this part. But I didn't have the dream of the nursing booth. And I'm telling you, people, we are growing. We are going to get so big that I could see people coming in off the street, sitting in the cafe, listening to the music.
I just got to add, because I got so excited when you shared this morning. Like, so just when we first came here, Travis and I had been asked to take over, oversee the nursery. And I had just had a vision already from then about this mom's room. And I said, and I want to have, just practical things. God is practical too. I said, I want to have a window where we can see in, but the babies can't see out, because a lot of the little babies are a little bit anxious to be left by their mom and dad. So just a practical thing. And didn't God show you that in the dream? You just told me this morning.
Yeah, that window was there.
And you specifically told me, you said there was a window and you could see in but not out. And I'm like, did you know what we're doing? She's like, no.
Yeah, like, that's what she said. Do you know what we're doing upstairs? And I went, no. So
do you think the Lord is building his church? Yeah. And he's doing it through us and you. It's exciting.
Praise God.
Thank you.
It is.
Thank you, Sharon. That's awesome. So, and many of you could get up here and give a testimony like that. How many here, lift your hand if you give a testimony of God just speaking to you, all right? And if you haven't, trust me, you can. You can have those kind of things. Another thing about eagles, I'm just going to close up in about 5 minutes here. Another thing with eagles is they set their nest in high places. They set their nests in high places. And I want to say the reason why they do that. Do you know why they do that? Because they use the jet stream to soar instead of flapping. You know, they let the wind do the work. And so when you're in a high place, you can just get up in the morning and you can just say, okay, Lord. You dive off, you spread your wings, and you let the Holy Spirit take you through the day, take you through life. There's very little flapping. There's very little work. And unfortunately, as Christians, if we're not careful, if we don't set our nest in high places, if we set our place with our, and all, we're talking about nests, we're talking about the place of abiding with God. If your place of abiding with God is here, and your sports are here, and you know, and you set things above God, if he's not the highest place in your life, not that the other things are bad, but if he's not the highest perch, you're going to end up jumping off in the morning, and you're flapping, and you're working hard to get through the day, and you're working hard to overcome addictions, and you're working hard to get by and not lose your temper again, and you're working hard to, and it's like, I got to do this, God needs to be pleased, and you're working, you're flapping, and at the end of the day, you're tired, you come home and say, I'm tired, I should have joined, why did I join a religion? Amen? But if you set your perch really high, you just open your wings, you jump off, the jet stream takes you, and you just soar. And it's very little work. One flap, soar for a mile. One flap, you still got to work, but it's very little. I don't lose my temper anymore. Why? Because the Spirit of God is moving through my life. Amen? I'm not tempted anymore in this area because the Holy Spirit is moving me in this area. Amen? So we need to set our nests in high places. Let the wind, let the Holy Spirit do the work. Do I have time for one more? We have one more. The next one is, eagles have two eyelids. It's kind of cool because they got a second eyelid that's kind of like a sunglass. It goes, you know. And the reason for that is they can fly directly towards the sun. Now, eagles, I don't think, have any predators. But if they did, if something's chasing them, just fly directly into the sun. And whatever's coming after them, burn their eyes out. They just can't go in that direction. They're like, I can't follow that eagle anymore. I'm just going to go this way. And I want to say this, that if we fly into the presence of God, the enemy cannot follow us. We need to run to God when we mess up. We need to run to God when we mess up. And our tendency is when we mess up, it doesn't matter how bad it is. Listen, I've done it too in the past where you've just messed up and you did it again. You know you've sinned. And it's like you're sitting there and your tendency is to go, oh, I'm just ashamed. I'm just going to go for a week and spend time. And you spend days feeling just down. And God says, no, don't do that. Run, come to, look what he says here. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He can sympathize, he understands, but was in all points tempted as we have been, but yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So when we mess up, we got to come back bold and say, God, I need your grace. I need your mercy. Amen. Come back into that place. Fly directly into the sun, because the devil wants to keep you in a place of despair. He wants to keep you feeling beat up and naked and alone and separated from God. That's his plan. I got to keep these people, they're going to heaven, but I got to keep them feeling like they're separated from God, because they're dangerous to me if they know the authority that they have in God. I got to keep them in that place. So you go days just, oh, and what God is saying is no, go boldly into the throne room of grace. I had a friend in Kingston. And he's a great guy, but he'd come to church for a long time. And his wife got saved and was on fire, but he had never had the encounter with God himself. And he fell into alcoholism. He fell into drinking again. And we tried to help him, couldn't help him. We tried to, you know. And I got a phone call from him about a year ago. He was ecstatic. I can't remember if he told me on the phone or it was in person. He said, I went into the garage one day and I started yelling at God. And he said, God, I want to have an encounter with you. I give up everything. And he says, I need you now or else I'm done. And he just went right to, and all of a sudden he said, God hit him and he began to tremble. He was pinned to the floor for like, I can't remember, I'd lie if I told you how long, but for a period of time, because I don't remember, he was under the power of God shaking. He got delivered, set free, saved, all there on the spot, because he came boldly and said, God, I need you. I can't do this self-help thing anymore. I need you. And he cried out to God, and he was completely healed. Amen? That story just came to my mind now. So we got to come boldly into the throne of grace. Amen? Well, I think that's going to be it for today. Amen? You want to add something?
I want to provoke the women's memory from the ladies' retreat. Do you remember also Sandra was talking about the eagles? And I'm trying to remember the details, but it was so cool because she was talking about eagles, that they have a special ability where we as humans sometimes tend to, when we have a storm coming, we tend to run away from it. I don't want to have the storm. Well, the eagle, I guess, apparently are going, they fly right to the storm and they face it head on. And then what happens is the winds of the storm, they position their wings somehow. Or they twist their wings. So they let, so the storm that is sent to do bad things or evil things, then instead, but because they change their position in the storm, they just let the storm take them up above. So they can soar over the storm. Now that is a lesson for us to learn, isn't it? Yeah.
Amen. It's all in perspective, right? Yes.
How about Psalm 103,
you got it open there?
Youth renewed
like the eagles. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll continue this message next week, and I'd keep going, but I love our kids workers, and I don't want to lose them. So we will, God is good. How many know God is good? Amen. Why don't we stand and close in prayer? If you need prayer for anything, just come up and we'll be here to pray for you if you want prayer. And other than that, let's have a time of fellowship in the cafe. Enjoy the sun today. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're able to come. Father, that you'd help us, God, to reposition our thinking so we can see ourselves in the realm of authority that you've placed us. God, we don't want to be like the guy on the boat or the woman in the box who just, at the end of it, realize they missed out a lot of good stuff. God, we want everything that you have for us. As Paul said, that their eyes would be open, that they would know what's there for them, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Father. Hallelujah.